Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Good afternoon, I'm Damien O'Reilly and this is Liveline. You can text on 51551. Dara, good afternoon to you.
Hi.
You've joined the club.
Of the people who've been scammed, yeah, unfortunately.
As and from what time yesterday?
So I received a call from my bank fraud department. I looked at the number on my phone and the number is the bank number. The first four digits, we'll say, were the same. So the last two digits can be dependent on who's ringing you. So I said, OK. This had happened to me before. The bank had rung me last year saying that this act had happened and wasn't me, and they cancelled it and I wasn't fraudulent out of any money, which was brilliant.
So you weren't suspicious at all by the number that came up in your phone?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No. Yeah. The number said bank. He said he was from the bank. He gave me his name. It was 11:30 yesterday morning. He said, a mobile phone was purchased on eBay for €260. Did you do this transaction? I said, absolutely not. And he said, okay, that's easy for us to block because it's eBay. Unfortunately, there's been a second transaction from Western Union in Guinea. €1,100 has been taken from your debit card. Can you confirm the first four digits of your debit card? So he read out four numbers and I said, yes, that was my card. I have now found out that every single card, debit card, has this. It just means it's Ireland.
Yes, it's the last four. The last four are the key. It's the first four that are fairly common. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But people don't know this, and this is a very important fact to tell everyone. If they say the first four, they're the same. So they don't. He said he was going to ring Guinea, and he would put it on conference call, but he wouldn't speak unless he needed to, that it was me contacting them to report a fraudulent act on my card. Mm-hmm. So he did this, and this Dino answered the phone, and I said, you have given out €1,100 from my debit card account and it hasn't been authorised. You didn't send me a text message, email, you didn't try, and how could this happen? He said, oh, a guy came in and he said his name was Simon Woodlock and he told me he was your son. He had a driving licence with his picture on it, and he said that he had verification to get €1,100 out of your account. And I said, and what was that verification? And he said, oh, I trusted him. I said, so you trusted him and gave him my money? I said, I want my money back. And he said, oh, the money is gone. I don't have your money now. I can't give it back to you. And I said, what do you mean you can't give it back to me? I said, you have to give me back my money. Then the guy jumped in saying, my client, saying his name, and my client has no responsibility for this. You have made a mistake. You have to give her her money back. And he said, if you'll hold for one moment while I speak to my client privately. He put him on hold and he said, no, you have to get tough. He said, you have to really take no nonsense, because they're going to tell you that they'll give you your money in 2 weeks or next week, or they're going to pawn you off on something. But no, you want all your money back now, this minute. You're not taking any nonsense, and I need you to be tough and use tough language.
So okay? your bank man, Maria, was telling you, coaching you in how to deal with these quote-unquote scammers. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. So he took me off. He said, hello. And I said, okay. I said, so what are we going to do here? He said, well, I spoke to my manager and he said I can give you €300 today and within 90 days you'll have the rest of your money. And I said, hold on a second. I want all of my money. I am going on Twitter. I'm going on national radio. I am going on Facebook. This will go viral. I said, your bank will never be used by anyone again. Oh, please, please, please don't do this. Please don't do this. Let me speak to my manager. Oh, my God, I lose my job. Please, please don't say anything. And he said, can I put you on hold? So he put me on hold. And then Maria, your man that's pretending to be from my bank, is saying, well done, now you use the right language. He said, we need to be strong and, you know, take no nonsense from these people. He said, usually they target old people who are weak and vulnerable and don't know what to do and panic. And I said, well, I said, they must have some information, because I said, I'm seriously ill. I said, I ingested poison in January and I've been at home bed rest for 7 weeks. So I think I'm talking to a normal person and we're having a talk and I'm so on. And now this happens, oh my God. So then your man comes back and says, I've spoken to my manager and he said he can, but he can't do it from a normal account. I said, okay. He said he has to transfer from a corporate account, and the least amount of money that can be transferred is 2,000 euro. So he said, we have taken 1,100 from your account. We will give you 100 for the inconvenience of this and to say we're sorry. So you have to promise verbally on the phone, and this is legally binding, to give us back the 800.
Right. So there and then, that moment, there is bang. Bingo. Yep. There is the scam. In other words,
yes.
The 1,100 hadn't gone out of your account at all.
No.
But they were saying it did. The least that they could give you back in a refund was 2,000, which meant that they were owed 900.
Eight, because they were giving
they were giving you 100, you know, apology kind of for the inconvenience.
Exactly.
So what they needed was the difference of the 800. So
okay.
You get 2 grand, and the 1,100 plus the 800 plus 100 for yourself would balance it all off. Right,
so
continue.
My bank fella puts them on hold again, and he says, now, he said, this is confidential. He said, you live in Loughrea. We have the IP address that he is working. There's someone working in Loughrea that has seen your card. They know who you are. They know your details. They know where you live. We have blocked this card. You cannot access the internet banking, because if you do, they will have access to all your accounts. So he said, you have to agree to this, but it is legally binding. If you say you're going to give them back the 800 euro, you have to give them back the 800 euro. I want to explain the confidentiality of this. This bank has to protect their reputation. You are to tell nobody. Don't speak to anybody about it. You will get the money, and it will be transferred from the post office in cash. You are to tell nobody. Because if they're alerted, these scammers will get away, and they're in your town, they're in Loughrea, and they will come for you, or we will lose them. So he's really trying to terrify me, which he's succeeding in doing, needless to say, because I'm there, I'm nearly on my knees at this point.
He's speaking to you as if this is a legal situation,
absolutely.
A police operation, all of this, yeah.
Absolutely. We have the fraudsters, we have their IP address, so we have these guys, we'll have them. You've got your money back. So everything's happy, happy. But I need you to do this quickly. We only have a short time frame. Okay. He then puts me back onto your man. He said, do you agree? I said, yes, okay. He said, there's a short window that this money has to go back in. I said, that's been explained to me. I said, he said 30 minutes. I said, I don't think I can do it in 30 minutes. I said, I have children to collect from school. I said, I have things to do. I can't be. And how far away are you from the bank? I said, it's not far. I live in the town. I said, I can get there. I can get this done. But I said, I have no money. I have absolutely no money. There's no money in my account. There is no money. I said, I haven't been able to work. I'm out sick. I was feckin' poisoned. And I said, I'm telling you, there's nothing there. And
you don't have the 800 to meet his demand.
I've okay. nothing. Yeah,
but the clock is ticking now. You got to do something.
But he said, but the card, I said, but you said the money will go into the card. So if the money is in the card, then I'll just take it out from the card and put it into the post office. That's no problem. I said, also, it'll cost me something, so I don't want to be out of pocket.
Yes.
Immediately, the Guinea fella says, yes, 43 euro, so transfer 757, which is on the 43, which is a sum total of 800.
Mm-hmm.
And I foolishly went to the bank. Now, I think when you're stressed, when you haven't been well, you're not yourself, your brain isn't working properly. So I went with my credit card, not even sure if there was enough money in my credit card, because I know I've used my credit card a lot again, because I'm not working on it.
So did he ask you, if you've no money in your current account, your savings account, do you have a credit card you could transfer the money?
Exactly. Ah. He said, go and take the money from your credit card. The money will go straight back in. But he said, when you can't use it yet until Friday, he said, your card will be posted, a PIN number will be posted separately. So the PIN number will only be given to you by your bank. He gave me a verification code, which is the security code. He said, this is the code you must give to the bank when you give them your card. You're unbelievable. Mm. So off I went to the bank. I took 500 out first because I wasn't sure if I could meet it. I wasn't able to take the full out. I took 2, and another stupid thing. I took then 100, a third action out of my deposit account. I said, okay, I have 100 to make up the 800, and walked away and left the money in the machine. Because I was so adult, I left 100 euro. So I only had 700 when I got to the post office.
So it's okay. So you went to your bank and physically took the cash out
from a cash machine outside on the street,
and went to the post office.
And then I took out my children's allowance and said, it's OK, I'll make up the, you know, because he said, there's only 700. And I was going, I'm after leaving the money in the machine. Whoever is behind me is after taking it. Mm. The bank said it may have been sucked in because it does that after a few seconds, but they won't know till Friday.
So you're heading now from your bank to the post office. The children have to be collected from school. You're worried about the money. The guy in the other end of the phone and the fella in Guinea are hanging on. You're still talking to them.
Yes,
right.
And he's keep the line open. Do not put me on speaker. Do not mute me. Do not. Take the form. They will give you a form. There's one for receiving money and there's one for sending money. And go back to your car and fill it out. Now, I'm not allowed to drive because I'm on medication, so a friend had driven me. I'm not going back to the feckin' car. I stay in the post office. He knows no wiser. And he's saying, fill this name in here. And he gives me this name, Kisari Kamara. He gives me the city, which is Conakry, Conakry, in Guinea. He said they will ask you various questions. I filled in all my details, including my date of birth, stupidly, because what do people use as passwords a lot? Their own date of birth. Hindsight is a great fella. Went up with the document. They handed me a fraudulent document, which I had to sign in order to do the transfer, because that's their policies and procedures. Mm. I signed that. Hand in my money, transaction done, off I go home. A while later, I think, I better ring the credit card crowd because I want to explain to them I took out this cash that I don't have and they'll be paying interest on it from the moment I took it. Mm. And I'm already up to my limit. Now I'm at the max of my limit, which is 3,500, and I don't have any money. So I said, OK. I ring them and I say, you know that this fraudulent act has happened this morning. I've been warned to keep it all confidential. Can I speak to you about it or do I have to speak to someone? And they went, there was no fraudulent act. Your card isn't frozen. There's no money in your account. This never happened. The only record they had was the cash that you took out from your credit card, which they could do nothing about because I physically took out cash from the machine. That's not their fault.
So you took 700 from your credit card, 100 from your savings account, which you left in the machine, and then to top it up, to make up that 100,
children's
you got
allowance.
The children's allowance. Exactly. So you're down about 900 now or thereabouts.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Feeling like a fool.
Go back to that moment when the bank, the real bank, yesterday evening said to you, there was no fraud. What are you talking about? This is news to us.
Yeah. And of course, my initial reaction was silence. It really was silent. I was stunned. I was going, please, no. And he said, hold on, I'll have to transfer you. Lovely, lovely guy. He transferred me to the girl who was in charge of fraudulent acts, but it wasn't a credit card fraud. It was a fraudster act using their name, using their phone number, which they did through the internet. It wasn't even a real number, but they used the first four digits from their number to make it look like it was a number. Mm-hmm. My main worry, and which I said to the bank, is, but they knew that you contacted me last year, so I had absolutely no difficulty in believing them, because you rang me last year and this happened. And I wasn't, you know, you saved me from being fraud out of 500 euro or something. That someone. So I said, why would I suspect someone when you already did it for me last year? So of course I think, of course he's genuine. Mm. He must be. Mm. Happened last. I said, do they know this? Or is it just pure luck that they know this? The second point being the four numbers of the card. Everyone should know that the first four numbers just mean the country that it's in. That's all. Same on every card. But they were lovely to me in the bank, told me there was nothing I could do, but they gave me the number of Western Union in California because they said they have to be alerted. So I rang Western Union.
Because it was a true Western Union that the money was transferred from the post office, right?
And this was the only way it could be transferred unless I used another form of debit card,
wiring
credit card,
it.
Which I wasn't going to do because that's what I said to him. I said, scammed once. I said, scammed twice. I'm not giving any details of any of my accounts on the phone. Do you think I'm stupid? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. So when I rang Western Union, the guy that answered the phone first, he said, I told him the basic outline of the story and the name of this Kisari Kamara. And he said, that's the third time I've heard that name today.
Oh, God.
In Guinea. So he said, I need to transfer you. Transferred me to this girl, gave her all the details. She gave me a case number. She asked me, could she release my name and phone number to the fraud squad in America? And I said, yes, of course. they told me I had to contact the local law enforcement agency, which I did then after hanging up from them, and they gave me a case number. But the interesting thing was, I said, have you got these people on your radar? Have you any information on the names I've mentioned? Because they gave me a phone number, a Guinea phone number. And she said, I'm not allowed to say, I can only discuss that with the law enforcement agent. But the guy who answered the phone had made the mistake and said, that's the third time I've heard that name today. Which is really, you know, I said, oh my God, but they are so professional. I, hand on heart, would say, this would never happen to me. I'm dead white. I was starting my own business, supposedly, on the 1st of February when I took ill. So because of that, that's why I have no income, because my business was supposed to be up and running. And I said, oh my God, my job is an inclusion coordinator. The police say to me, did you not suspect when it was an Indian accent? I said, my job is equality, inclusion and diversity. I would not make any assumptions. We are living in a diverse country with, I have Sri Lankan, Polish, Latvian, beautiful people living all around me. Just because it's a country, I don't make assumptions. Why would I make assumptions?
That's an interesting one. When the bank, quote unquote, contacted you, what was it? He called himself Bob, was it?
I've been told not to mention his name.
We'll call him Bob, just in case there is a real man of that name. So this man called you. And there is, you know, a lot of these scams anecdotally are operated. The ones we've heard about here operate from abroad and, you know, watch all numbers coming from certain African countries and all that. But were you under the impression that the scammers were actually Irish, you know, Irish based from your bank, which is an Irish bank?
Because he told me they have. Do you see, this is the thing. We have their IP address. We have them now.
Yeah.
The fraud squad is onto them. We're aware of them, but they know you. They know where you live.
But was there anything about the person's accent, or we'll say the distance? You know the way when you're on a long distance call.
Nothing.
No.
Sure, when he said to me, "You're single. My father's single as well. Are you looking for a relationship?" But in the middle of all this. Jesus, I'm sorry.
Talk about chancing his arm.
I mean, for God's sake, I said.
You're going to take your money and take you as well.
Yeah, right. Be a lot more than 757 euro. I'm a classy bird.
You're worth more than that.
Thank God, I have a sense of humour. I said,
but
oh
I
my
just
God.
Wonder, was it an Irish or an English or a?
No, it was Indian. It was Indian, okay. Pakistani. His English was perfect. The other guy, Dino, in Guinea, wasn't. He was.
It was quite broken,
strong,
yeah. But that didn't matter because they weren't covering up where the person was from in terms of
that
it was Guinea. Yeah. But come here to me. So what did Western Union tell you? Did they say to you that in any way they can get your money back?
No, because I took the money physically out of my credit card. It wasn't a fraudulent act on my card. I did it myself. I went and took the money out physically, so it's my own fault.
And Dara,
but it is my own fault.
Dara, you've probably listened to live lines in the past and listened to people being scammed and laughed and threw your eyes up to heaven and said, "How stupid are they?"
Yeah. And all night I cried. Once I'd spoken to Western Union in California, I cried. I started crying. I couldn't stop. I felt the most stupid person on the planet. And I'm going to start crying again. I just can't believe it. And then you just think, how lucky. What way is my luck? Do you know, to get poisoned is, excuse me, bad enough. And then this to happen, it's like, oh my God, what am I going to get? It's my birthday next week. I'll get a brain tumour for my birthday. God forgive me.
Bad luck comes in threes. bad luck comes in trees indeed. You got the poison and then you ended up getting scammed and then you end up talking to me instead of Joe. That's worse.
No, I'm delighted I'm talking to you. My mother probably won't be delighted. She'd prefer if I was speaking to Joe.
I'll send her out Joe's autograph. On a serious note, Dara, apart from the scam, and I think it's a case you're just going to have to put that down to experience now, and I'll just talk to you in a little moment about the financial aspect. But are you a bit freaked out by the fact that they had your son's address, they knew where you live, the town you live in, they had your IP address, and what else did they have? They had a lot more information personally about you.
And I gave them nothing. They had my mobile and my landline, and I didn't give them anything.
How would they have this information, do you think?
Through the net. They know I'm an inclusion coordinator. They know I'm a soft touch.
So you were
they
targeted.
Know by saying, this guy is going to lose his job. I said, oh, for God's sake, anyone can make a mistake. I was saying to this Bob.
Wow.
You can't have him losing his job.
So they really, really, really did their research.
They knew my line of work. They knew I was in hospital. They knew I wasn't well. They just knew so much. So much. It's absolutely scary. And then I just feel more vulnerable because I am on my own with two children and I don't have any family here, you know. And it's like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm sick to my stomach. I feel the most stupid person on the planet. You know, and vulnerable. I'm ill. Just the whole world has just collapsed around me and I'm so sorry now. I'm just so upset. I just can't believe. And this morning, this is the icing on the cake, 5 to 10, the phone rings. Hello, this is Bob. You remember me from yesterday. I took in a deep intake of breath and I shouted on the phone. I said, you scammer, what did you do? And of course he hung up and then I said, why did I not see what he wanted? Why did I not listen to him? He's doing a follow-up call because they told me not to go to the bank till Friday. They warned me and I broke the rules. They didn't think I'd contact anybody and I did. They're exposed, you know.
Could have been asking you out on a date.
Or for his father, who he said was 57 and single and looking for a woman. Holy divinity. Oh, it's just unreal. It's just unreal. It really is unreal.
Just stay there in the line, 51551. You're not the only one, Dara. Jarlick, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Damien.
You're listening to Dara's tale there. It's one of the more elaborate scams that we've heard about here. Go ahead with your point.
Yeah, no, 2 mornings ago I got a call from a guy called Joe with an Oriental accent and it was a similar thing. And he said, we had the two things that seem to be the regular happening on your debit card charges. And I said, yes. And I wasn't sure because out of the memory, he says, one is for 112 or whatever, the other was 50-something. And he told me what they were. And I said, I agreed with him. I said, yeah, I did. I made those transactions. And I did that on purpose. Because the minute I said, yes, I did, he hung up. Because I knew that if it was a real bank, a real person, that in other words, genuine, that they would have said, well, thank you, Mr. Duffy. We were just checking, etc. And if it was false, they would have hung up. And he did hang up.
Yeah. Maura Connolly's there. Thanks, Jarlett. Maura, go ahead.
Sure. Hi, how are you doing? No, I was just saying to your researcher there that I had the exact same thing happen kind of the middle to the end of last year. So some of the details are flaky, but listening to her, it was exactly the same. But during the call, he managed to tie up my landline and my mobile. And I can't remember, did I give him the landline number? But the other guy was on the landline, so I couldn't call anybody. He wouldn't allow me to put down the phone. So I put my earphones in and I could continue with the call and check my bank account. And there was nothing taken out of my bank account, so I disconnected the call.
Mm.
I did ring my bank afterwards and they said they don't contact people like that.
Yeah, well, no, they warned me not to access my bank because they had my IP address and the IP address was in Loughrea. So therefore, if I went into my online banking, they would clear out all my accounts.
They didn't do anything like that to me. I had my earphones in. You can do anything on your mobile, but you're still talking to somebody if you have earphones in.
Yeah. You see, they were on my landline. It was only when I left my house they rang my mobile. Yeah, and then as soon as I entered my house after the transaction, because I had to wait an hour for verification.
And Dara, did they ask for you by name when they rang you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
full name. Yeah, my full name. Am I speaking too?
Sure. It wasn't. Yeah. They weren't just
but
chancing
the warning of don't go on the internet. The IP address is in Loughrea. You're in Loughrea. They know you. They know who you are. They know where you live. It's like, oh my God. Do you know what I mean?
No. Well, I didn't get any of that now.
But as I said, they knew I was sick. They knew I was at home alone. They knew, do you know, I just feel they knew. They knew my job. They knew that I wouldn't suspect because they did an Indian accent. You know, that it's diverse, and why would I assume anything dodgy just because someone has a foreign accent.
It was like,
you know,
they had their home at Dunaff. I don't know if you ever remember the BBC series Hustle.
And
no. they were really, really elaborate at how they conned people and scammed them. But it seems like these guys were more than just chancing that. They had done their homework.
On me, yeah. But that's actually rang me back this morning.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Bob. Oh my God, my legs went from under me.
And I couldn't believe it. By the way, have you reported this to the Gardaí, or is there anything they can do?
Oh, yeah, I was in the bank. Well, the bank, obviously, last night, they blocked all my cards and my internet. Everything was blocked, and we'll stay like that for a couple of days. I've no access to money. I've no access to anything.
How are you? You've children there. You say you're on your single parent with young children.
I have shopping. Listen, there's always food in the fridge. So what else do you need? And I have great neighbours. My neighbours are brilliant. They look after
good.
Me.
Good.
They give me lifts, as I said, because I had to be put on medication because I was so stressed out about my
Dara,
physical illness.
Do you mind me asking you, what happened to you? You say you ingested poison.
There's another case which I can't really
discuss. Well,
Galway Bay FM. No, it was. Mike Maher was on Galway Bay FM on Monday. Because there's an issue with Loughrea on my street.
Well, look,
we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, and that's fine. I thought it might have been something you could talk about. There's no problem.
I did nearly die. I have hepatitis of my liver, my gallbladder, and my colon. So it's serious poisoning, and I'm seriously ill, and I might never recover. Like, that's basically the bottom line. So I am very vulnerable. I'm very emotional. I'm very upset. I'll mind my children kind of thing, you know. Mm. And this whole thing was just so easy. The girl who said she'd never be scammed, talk about never say never. And
there you
the
go.
Truth.
It's
never
a lesson to us all.
Never.
As I said to you, there are people eye-rolling now. Maybe they're tweeting. I don't have access to social media, but maybe they're saying, how stupid is she? But in this instance, the fact that they had so much information relating to you,
my character and my heart, because I'm such a generous person by nature. It's ridiculous. And that's what I said. It's the givers that suffer, and the takers keep taking.
Well, people will know you down in there in Loughrea, and they'll be listening to you. And you have good neighbours and good friends around you. And
I hope they
rally around you, because it's not as if you have that €900 hanging around doing nothing.
No,
it's money you need. You've children
to
there,
live on. Yeah,
and
yeah,
you've been very, very composed in telling your story. And
I
hope it helps other people. And
that's what I want to do.
Yeah,
you don't gain anything. You know, that's not the point. The same with my poisoning. The case is going forward. I mean, because I'm saying I don't want this to happen to anybody else.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
too late for me. It's happened to me. You know, so when something happens, the first thing that comes into my head is make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. And more vulnerable than me, I have a roof over my head. I've clothes on my back. There's food in my fridge. You know. So I'm all right. I'm going to survive. It's horrible.
You will.
And it'll take me a long time to pay back the money, because it's not there to pay back. But I'll get there.
Look,
you know, I'm a survivor.
Bad things visit us all at different stages of life. Nobody gets a clear run at it. There's no doubt about that. And even people with loads of money have other problems. So thanks a million, Dara, for contacting us and highlighting that issue, even if it was somewhat at your own expense. But don't feel any bit ashamed listening to your story there.
I'm not. It's quite
elaborate.
So
and they're getting more. They're getting more elaborate by the day. Dara, look after yourself. Thanks so much.
Thanks a million.
And keep in touch. And you too.
I'll let you know the other issue next week. I'll be in touch with the results to tell you.
All right. and I'll send a proxy hello to your mother on behalf of Mr. Duffy.
Anne Woodlock in Drimna. Say her name, please.
What's her name?
Anne Woodlock in Drimna.
Anne Woodlock in Drimna in Dublin.
Yeah. World champion runner. She'll be delighted with herself.
Fantastic.
And
what did she win?
She is world champion she has been now for a number of years in 3,000 metres, 5,000 metres. She's been in Wonderful Woodlock. If you go Google her, Wonderful Woodlock, she's been the Irish runner. She's been in the Times. She's been in the Indo. She's been in the Herald. On what paper she hasn't been in every year.
Fair play to her. And still running strong, is she?
Still running strong at 81, yep. Oh, not a bother
at 81.
And on her bike if she's not running. She's on her bike.
We'll have
Unreal.
To get... Well, I'll Joe's back next week, so maybe he might give her a ring.
Oh, she'd be delighted.
Would she
went to the ploughing last year with the kids, and they went in to see Joe, and we rang the phone so she could hear him, that he was beside us.
But I'm sure she has a great story to tell about running, you know,
running around the world, everywhere, Russia, Africa, South Africa, Australia, she's been everywhere last year, Poland.
And is she middle distance, long distance?
She only started running when she was 40, when we were all old enough. that she could leave us and run. She's a lot of work to run away from five kids. And yeah, she's champion. Oh, she's world champion and competitive runner for years. I'm telling you, if you go into the internet and put it,
I know. Yeah, fair.
Everyone knows her. Everyone knows of her wonderful woodland.
Wonderful Woodlock. Wonderful Woodlock. Well,
yep,
I hope she's many more years running ahead of her, and sounds fantastic.
She's not soaking on her afternoon tea listening to me on the radio, but we won't go there. Thanks a million.
All right, Dara, look after yourself.
Protect yourselves, people. That's all I say. Please protect yourselves. Hang up and ring the bank immediately. That's it.